From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Audie Cornish. This weekend, world leaders will begin converging on New York for the annual UN General Assembly. It's a chance for them to take the world stage and speak their mind. The United States, as host, is supposed to let everyone come, like them or not. But this year, that proposition is being put to the test. As NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports, the president of Sudan, who's been indicted by the International Criminal Court, has applied for a visa.
U.S. Ambassador to the UN Samantha Power had a few choice words for Omar al-Bashir's request to attend this year's General Assembly.
Such a trip would be deplorable, cynical, and hugely inappropriate.
But the U.S., as host of the United Nations, has to consider his visa request. State Department officials say they're looking at many factors, including the outstanding warrant against him on genocide charges for the conflict in Darfur. These are new legal waters, says Northwestern University's David Sheffer, a former U.S. ambassador-at-large for war crimes who helped negotiate the treaty that set up the ICC.
What some people might regard as odious characters certainly have appeared on the podium, but we have not had an indicted war criminal do so. That changes the game.
World leaders are entitled to diplomatic immunities while at the UN, but Sheffer says there are conflicting laws and treaty obligations to work through, and he thinks there are ways for the UN Secretary General to deny Bashir access and immunity. One is a UN Security Council resolution that requires Sudan to cooperate with the International Criminal Court.
The mere fact that President al-Bashir is seeking to travel to New York is an act of non-cooperation with the ICC because the only plane he should be getting on is one to The Hague.
The UN Secretary General is urging Bashir to surrender to the ICC in The Hague. But if Bashir does show up in New York, UN employees are being told to limit their contacts with him. Brigitte Sour, who's with the Coalition for the International Criminal Court, says that could be embarrassing for the Sudanese leader.
Other heads of state or high UN officials would avoid being seen shaking his hand, being seen standing next to him on a podium. Perhaps if he were to speak at the UN, he would be speaking to a largely empty room.
Law Professor Sheffer says the U.S. and the UN should make this clear to Bashir to dissuade him from coming, rather than, as some suggest, lure him to New York to arrest him.
That would be a very, shall we say, devious strategy on the part of both the United States and the UN, and might backfire politically, particularly in Africa, if they were to do that.
The ICC is already facing a lot of criticism from countries in Africa. Kenya is threatening to pull out. Its new president is accused by the court of orchestrating the deadly violence after the 2007 elections, an allegation he denies. Sour of the Coalition for the ICC says the Kenyan issue, and in a different way, Sudan, puts the ICC in an awkward spot.
It's one of those uncomfortable realities of how it's situated in the world. It doesn't control what happens at the UN in that way. It doesn't have its own police force.
And the U.S. is not a party to the court. But activists with the Enough Project are encouraging the U.S. to take a look at its own laws. Akshaya Kumar says the Genocide Accountability Act could be used against Bashir.
There are a number of tools in the litigator's toolbox that they could use if they wanted to go down that route. And we think the U.S. government should strongly explore them, and we in the activist and international legal community are looking at what things we can do independently.
Kumar says refugees from Darfur and other war-torn areas of Sudan now living in the U.S. could bring civil cases against Bashir as they seek justice and accountability. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.